97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL and UNC School of Media and Journalism present Sports Focus with Charlie Tuggle. Sports Focus is dedicated to in-depth examination of issues of overriding importance in the sports world. Each week, we'll discuss problems and look for solutions in professional, collegiate, and amateur sports. From Carroll Hall on the Carolina campus, here's your host, journalism professor Charlie Tuggle.
Welcome to Sports Focus. Our topic today, the legacy of ESPN anchor and proud Tar Heel, Stuart Scott. Our guest, Susie Kalber, Stuart's co-anchor at ESPN. Susie, let's go back to the earliest days when you, what was your first impression of Stuart? I don't know if it was when you guys were in the same realtor's office or before that. You had some conversations before you both arrived at ESPN2, I believe it was on the same day.
Well, what's really awesome is when we first connected, we had never even met because he was working in local television and so was I when we were both hired for the launch of ESPN2. And he called me from the office of his local station and I was there producing my show in my local station. And we just sort of connected on the phone. We hit it off. That's a feeling that how many first phone call from people could you say you actually recall? And there was something about that I can still picture which desk I was sitting at, what I was doing when he called. So we just sort of clicked. And then it made it even more of a coincidence and funnier that we would both be in the same little town of Canton, Connecticut. It's the Northwest Hills of Connecticut. And we would be in the same realtor's office at the exact same time, looking at houses in the same town. And I was already in the agent's part of the office, and he was out in the waiting area with, at the time, his wife, Kim. And I remember hearing him say, "Is that Susie?" Because he could hear my voice. And that was it from there. We were both with our significant others. We went out to dinner that night. We both lived in the same town, and we were friends from then on in. Really, it's really kind of amazing.
You know, we talk in this industry a lot about chemistry. Especially on the set with a couple of anchors. Was that chemistry born before you ever even sat next to him on the set?
Oh, absolutely. I don't think there is no question about that. And when we had first launched Sports Night, which was the flagship show of ESPN2, and a lot of people, you know, everybody relates Stuart to SportsCenter, and then I remind them, well, it really all began with the launch of ESPN2, that ESPN at that time really felt like it was time to allow the anchor's personality to come through. I think maybe up until then it had been a little more cookie cutter in a sense, you know, I would say, except for people like, you know, Keith Olbermann and Dan Patrick. But they really wanted personality, which was a big part of, you know, the appeal of Stuart to begin with. So when they had originally started the show Sports Night, Keith Olbermann and I were sort of the main host, along with Mitch Albom for the opening night. And then there were these Sports Smash anchors, which gave updates, I believe, every 20 minutes or so. And Stuart was one of the Sports Smash anchors. And it didn't take that long as the show was evolving, and Stuart was just a better fit in that main role than was his desire was to go back to SportsCenter and whatnot. So Stuart and I became co-hosts at that time, and there was no doubt the chemistry that we had, and we would joke that we were, you know, the TV husband and wife. But we always sort of had that, and that made the show better and made it so much more fun.
When Stuart became Stuart, you know, when did that happen? You know, you were in South Florida. I was in Tampa. Stuart was in Orlando before the both of you went to ESPN. And you hear some things about, hey, this hotshot new kid or new guy over at WESH in Orlando is doing some cool stuff, but I don't think he was allowed to become Stuart Scott until he got to ESPN. Would you say that's correct?
Well, I would say it's correct, and I would take it a step farther. I would say he wasn't necessarily allowed, if you're going to use that word in quotations, to sort of be who he really truly, be true to himself, who he felt he really was, until quite a while into his ESPN career as well. And I think that's kind of been documented as I think everybody started to take notice things were a little bit different. But when ESPN2, the initial idea was that it's going to be irreverent, youthful, and I joked that the only thing that was really all that irreverent were the promotions that said we were, that aside from, you know, the way the show was put together and how we dressed, that eventually it just morphed into more general ESPN programming. And Sports Night, that flagship show, eventually went away and gave way for more live programming, which I think in the end, being able to put more live programming on is what ESPN always wanted. You know, now we have ESPN3 and .com and all kinds of things like that. So inventory, you always need more space. And eventually, a show like Sports Night and other programming on ESPN2 gave way to that. When that happened, most of us moved over into SportsCenter and into more of the ESPN news programming. But initially, Sports didn't. And I remember going through that period where I got placed on the 6 o'clock SportsCenter, and there was kind of a hold on him. Like, what do we have here? How is this going to work with our audience? How is this going to fit in? And that, I think, was the most difficult period. And that's where, more than at any other time, Stewart really held his own and stuck to his convictions and who he wanted to be and what audience he wanted to reach. And he wasn't really willing to be anything else just to get himself on the air. I mean, he stuck to it. And as I've heard, initially they felt like, well, we'll put Stewart, you know, and Rich Eisen, we'll put those guys on the overnight show, the 1 a.m., 2 a.m. Sports Center, and let's just sort of see how this goes. And who would like to say it took off, and then the rest is history.
Sports Focus, we'll be right back. Welcome back to Sports Focus. We're talking with Susie Kauber of ESPN, co-anchor to legendary ESPN anchor Stuart Scott, who was a proud Tar Heel. Susie, we have a class here in the School of Media and Journalism at UNC called The Branding of Me. I wonder if we should start putting a photo of Stuart on the syllabus for that class, because he's somebody who I think, as we were discussing in the first segment, who really branded himself well. Would you concur?
I agree 1,000%. And I had told a story that I had never really told before. I told her that we had a memorial for him at ESPN a couple of months after his funeral. And I told everyone that, I can't remember the exact date. It was when the ESPYs, way back when, you know, in their infancy, were in New York. And it was all us ESPN people, too. Now it's mostly, you know, Hollywood folks. It was us. And what I recall is at around that time, you know, when he was sort of just kind of breaking through, and Mike Tirico and I were in the bathroom with him, and it was sort of this intervention we were doing, because we recognized, obviously, how talented Stewart was, and we just never wanted him to be stereotyped or somehow hold himself back from other opportunities because of that, because people would see him in one particular way. We just wanted the whole world open to him in terms of what he wanted to do at ESPN and then maybe any other steps throughout his career. And I think the message of the intervention was, you know, if it was toned down just a little bit, because obviously he's got so much talent and personality. Well, I believe he politely listened to everything, but he never changed. There was no way. I mean, he knew who he wanted to be, what he wanted to be, the audience he was talking to. And I think later on, if at any point, you know, we were on the road together at events and I would see how, you know, the general public would relate to him, then you really got it. You got it then. Oh, my gosh. You know, he's doing it right. He's genuine, and there's this audience that was just aching to be heard and talked to and related to, and he recognized that, and he was doing it.
Susie, let me make sure I heard this right. You were in the men's bathroom for this intervention?
All I recall was a lot of marble. I don't know if maybe it was one of those, like, I do recall sort of like sitting on marble by a sink. It was, maybe it was, you know, in a nice hotel, the part before you actually go into where the stalls are. But I do, in my mind, it's, I'm sitting on the counter, there's a lot of marble, there are sinks, and that's where we're discussing this with him.
All right.
Hey, whatever it takes, right?
There you go. Yeah. So, let's talk about some of your personal interaction with Stuart. Of course, he, as we've mentioned, is a proud Tar Heel. He hosted Late Night with Roy 10 times, just an icon on our campus. And then he's co-hosting with you, co-anchoring with you, and Miami comes into the ACC. Do you recall any conversations along those lines?
You know what? It's funny. Just like
we should let our viewers know that you attended Miami.
Yeah, I went to the University of Miami. And it's funny even how just obviously our personalities on here are very different. And I'm always very understated about things. So while everyone knew where Stuart went to school and, you know, wore his colors proudly, I was always a bit more understated. So we never really, especially on the air, you know, kind of got into that too much. it's still hard for me to relate. When you say that, I'm still thinking, no, that can't be right. Miami? ACC? No. Mm. So that wasn't really, I'm going to say, a big part of our trash talk.
Well, was there any off-the-air smack talking about, you know, now Miami's going to learn what college basketball is all about?
Well, I was at the University of Miami when our program launched. So we were pretty much, you know, way behind Tar Heel basketball. I don't really ever think, you know, it was so much in the same conversation anyway. You know, if you want to talk to me about football, then that's one thing. Then we can have real talk about, you know, success, although that's going back quite a ways too.
Yeah.
At the college level.
All right. So you and Stuart are very close, you know, have that great chemistry on the air. And when you work with someone, it's one type of chemistry. When you're friendly with someone away from work, that's a different type of chemistry. And I have in my mind this photo of Stuart holding your daughter. And he has this look of absolute joy on his face. And your daughter seems very young at the time. Seems like she's enjoying herself as well. Does that photo sort of encapsulate the person, Stuart Scott, as opposed to the anchor, Stuart Scott?
Well, completely, because I think for anyone who knows Stuart personally, and he shared this often with the audience as well, just his feelings, obviously, number one, about his daughters, but just about kids in general. There's this, he's just, you know, he's a good soul and just a special place for kids. And he knew I always wanted to have kids, but he was well ahead of me. So it was a constant dialogue, a joking, but constant dialogue of, you know, when are you going to have a baby? When are you going to have a baby? And there are so many times now where something will happen with my daughter, or, I mean, she's such a wonderful kid, and I love her so much, and it's such a big part of my life. And those are the things that you want to just be able to just share and say and talk about. And so for me, what I miss most, it really has nothing to do with work except for the fact that it was fun to be on the road together and go to dinner and see him, you know, before the games. You know, we would always be chatting and that kind of thing. But it's, you know, when you're friends with somebody, it's all the other stuff. And so for me, none of the on-air personality, any of those things are what I miss. I miss him and his hugs and those kind of relationships and talking about our kids. You know, he would always be showing up with, here's an unbelievable video of Sydney scoring a goal. You know, here's something spectacular that Taylor just did. He was so proud and always sharing those things. And, you know, I want to share them too. You know, and that picture, I had used it on the air as well, and there's this unbelievable just glow about both of them in the picture. It was the first time my daughter was ever at an NFL game and ever on the field before a game. And it sort of captures everything for me because it was that first and then Stuart holding her. And it's just it's a magical picture full of love, and that's what the relationship was all about.
Sports Focus, we'll be right back. Welcome back to Sports Focus and our discussion with Susie Kalber of ESPN about the legacy of a former ESPN commentator and anchor Stuart Scott. Susie, when the School of Media and Journalism decided that we were going to induct Stuart into the Hall of Fame, North Carolina Journalism Hall of Fame, we asked for testimonials from some of our alums and our current students. Have you ever come into contact with Stuart? What was that interaction like? And it was startling, actually, to, number one, hear from so many people who had personal interactions with him, and for so many of them to say essentially the same thing, not in exactly the same words, but they all said something along the lines of, he made me feel like the most important person in the room.
I knew you were going to say that.
So why would they all say that?
Because there was something about a relationship with him that at the time you are with him and interacting with him, you are the only person. It's almost uncanny. And all of us who are really close with him too, you know, I think so many things became clear as we all got together, you know, to mourn him, that, oh my gosh, how did he touch this many people in such an intimate way, not just on TV and a general audience, but all these people that he had these wonderful, meaningful relationships with, how did he touch them all? How did he have enough time? I think that's why a lot of us, you know, kind of look at him now as like just such a special soul and such an angel to have that capacity. It's like doing God's work, you know, that you could be impacting so many people in such an important way. It's a special skill. It's what makes him so special. And I think maybe we didn't all realize that and learn that until after the fact. Just like I don't think any of us who were just buddies with him realized just how widespread and such an impact. I mean, the day he passed, I don't think he would have ever believed it. So I find all of that, yes, fascinating. And I knew as you started that sentence, I knew what you were going to say. And just recently, a little group of us got together, and we were discussing how there's even kind of groups of his friends that never actually all came together, and that maybe he kind of wanted it that way too, because each of those relationships were sort of his own, and they were special unto just itself.
We put together a montage of sportscasters, local TV sportscasters scattered across the country to talk about Stuart's influence on their lives and careers. And not only did they say, you know, he made me feel like the only person in the room, Stuart Scott is the reason I came to UNC. Stuart Scott is the reason I decided to go into sports television. So we're just kind of following on that theme of you know, the impact that he had on people. And in the final minute that we have left, his impact was sort of crystallized, I think, in that Jimmy V Awards presentation, the word of perseverance. And when you when you die, it does not mean that you lose to cancer. Right. Quoting him now, you beat cancer by how you live, why you live, and in the manner in which you live. I could not have sat down at my desk for a year and written a better line than that.
Well, his speech encapsulates everything you would ever teach in a journalism class. And me watching it, not only as his friend, but as a journalist, number one, I knew he had worked on that and worked on it up till the final minute that he spoke those words. And when they rehearsed it, and then things always feel different once you're up in the big room, and he changed a few more things, and then just to put the unbelievable exclamation point on it, the timing that Sydney, he would call her up, he'd be saying his final words as she came to the stage and he hugged her. You couldn't possibly have put anything together that was more brilliant, more perfect for the moment, or that encapsulated Stuart.
And that does it for this edition of Sports Focus. Thanks to our guest, Susie Kalber. Thanks also to engineer Gary Kirk. And thanks to you for listening. Cheers.
Thanks to Richard Southall, Mark Nagel, and Deborah Southall at the College Sport Research Institute at the University of South Carolina for their research and guidance, and for access to CSRI's international network of sources. Sports Focus is a service of UNC School of Media and Journalism.